Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Mud Stuffin.
Yay!
It's that guy!
Mud himself.
If you listen to this show, we'll have heard his name oh so many times. He's here!
Sometimes cursed.
He's holy shit here.
Sometimes
and
blessed.
He walked in the door and I went, God damn it, Jenna, that's well done. Damn it, I hate saying well done, but well done. So, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the prolific bringer of Fast Fives and
indeed.
And booze and
that.
Much joy to our lives.
Also.
Yeah.
Bearer of the tiny mud.
I am that.
Yeah.
Speaking of boozings, what are we drinking?
We are drinking, we decided it was tomatin.
Tomatin. That's what it was.
Tomatin, yeah. Highland single malt Scotch whiskey. This is the, and this is another word I'm going to butcher.
Yay!
Quattro series. But not Quattro like Quattro. I think it's C-U-A.
It's Quattro.
Oh, okay. Good. Manzanilla. Sherry cask finish.
Ooh.
Yes. Tomatin Distillery, home of the finest Highland single malt Scotch whiskey.
Can we drink it yet, or are you just going to keep talking?
No, I will.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, we're not a Scotch podcast, after all.
That's good.
That is delightful. I didn't know this was in sherry casks, and that makes it all the better for me, but yes, this is yummy.
Nice little burn.
Oh, it's got that sweet caramel. Yeah. Flavor from the sherry. Oh. All about that. Awesome. So, James.
Yeah.
Oh, what you been up to?
So much, but I took the trip to Oregon. Also, the weekend before that, I had not mentioned it was a friend of the podcast, Josh Josh Thielen's birthday. And he didn't know it because his birthday isn't for another couple of weeks. Well, I mean, now 1 week. But he was surprised. His girlfriend got everyone together for a surprise fencing birthday party.
So what you're saying is if we just have a surprise birthday party for you next week, it'll be a big surprise because it's not your goddamn birthday?
Correct.
I like that idea.
Yeah. That will be a gigantic surprise.
Supplies!
Yeah.
It's your birthday!
So,
we invited Mud here for your birthday, James. Happy
yay!
Birthday!
That's
very,
a good
very on birthday yeah. to you.
To me. that's where it stops. Okay.
That's where this bit ends, yes.
Right, good. So everybody brought presents for Josh, and then he fenced us for the pile of presents. He had to win fencing matches in order to receive his presents. So his girlfriend had also arranged a couple of duplicate gifts, and I actually walked away with kind of a sweet color change mug.
Oh, so
yeah.
So if you beat him,
I get one of his presents. And I did.
That's pretty great.
So I got one of his presents. Fortunately, he had already opened the other one, so he and I now have matching mugs and matching umbrellas. Because I got him a Zelda umbrella like mine.
So you all presumably purchased gifts for him.
Right.
And if he had lost all of the matches,
he would get nothing.
You would have just purchased presents for each other.
Right.
Like Christmas.
Yes. Yeah, it's sinister. I like it.
This is rather brilliant. Yeah. I don't see a downside to this.
No, yeah. I got to try out my the gauntlets that I bought for chess. I got to try out.
He went through the gauntlet.
That's also true. He was just coming off of a morning shift too.
Oh.
He went to breakfast and he's like, "All right,
and
finally,
he had to fight.
I can
everybody.
Go home and relax." No.
And he had to fight everyone,
yes.
One after the other.
Correct.
Oh God.
Yeah, but no, it was a blast, and I was really happy to see that he had a good time, and the fencing matches were fantastic. So I ended up beating one of the people at the booth that I have never won against.
Did you take their present?
No.
Or that was your present.
No, my present was a gift card that had been... Because it even worked. If you had two people who were not Josh fencing, the winner would grab a present from the table. Yeah.
So he's just over there, like, watching his pile of presents uh-huh. dwindle yeah. as he progressively loses as he gets more and more tired.
She did make sure that when he won, he got the important ones.
Okay.
So he did, he got the umbrella, so that he and I have matching umbrellas. He also got an amazing hammock stand thing for, because he has camping hammocks that he's always been stretching between trees, but none of the trees where he lives
right.
are good for it, so... She got him a hammock stand,
yeah, one of the freestanding frames, yeah, yeah.
Which was really nice. He got to enjoy that the entire day.
When he wasn't fighting.
Right, except for then. Color change glass. He also got a couple of other gifts. A bunch of t-shirts and hoodies, but then other people also won some of his t-shirts and hoodies. So, but, yeah, no, she was like, yeah, I bought, like, 30 gifts, and people are also bringing other gifts, so...
There's plenty to go.
The idea is that he wants to win.
Functionally, they right. were party favors. Yes. But you got, yeah, I know.
Plus, there were beers to win.
Of course, and, of course.
Caribou gift cards.
I'm sure drinking was involved yeah. heavily.
Oh, yeah. Not something that we usually do at the fencing booth.
No,
yeah.
No, drunken fencing is an after-hours sport.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have, you can still see... circle here where
have
I was
tagged. Have
you ever
been barstool fencing?
No.
You should do
okay.
barstool fencing.
Yeah, I would like that. And then I've got like a nice big...
Oh, that is a nice tag. A
nice line right across yeah. the top. And I've got a few more. There was one that was on my thumb for a while. But yeah, no, it was a fucking blast. And it was a good opportunity for me to try out the new gauntlets that I purchased. And they're fantastic. I'm actually buying... a pair of those for a friend for his birthday. Cole from the fencing booth is going to receive a pair of those.
Okay. You going to fight him for those?
Oh, that would... I already have, but...
You can never have too many gauntlets.
Maybe. I would feel... they're being shipped directly to him. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
I'll fence him again later. The other thing that I did was to take a trip to Oregon, and I got to go on a tiny turboprop plane... because the trip from Portland to Redmond is 25 fucking minutes by air, so or 3 hours by car. And rather than have my family take the rental car for 6 hours round trip to come and pick me up, I just paid the extra, you know, $100-something
right.
to fly there in the tiniest plane. Oh, it was so good.
Single engine?
No.
Double engine?
Double turboprop, okay. Yeah. It was fucking great. By the way, I got a picture of the car. Chava, our mutual acquaintance Chava, had mm-hmm. asked that I get pictures of the carpet from the Portland airport, and I have. Okay. Unrelated.
Everybody has a weird hobby?
Yeah. but it was part of the Aerospace Museum in Portland.
Oh.
They were like, this was the carpet here from 2000 to 2015.
I mean, you have his email.
Or something. Yeah, I do. But no, it made me really happy. I got to see an SR-71 Blackbird mm-hmm. spy plane in person.
Nice.
I got to hang out with my nephew in a part of a Saturn V rocket mm-hmm. and see an A-10 in person, which is my personal favorite.
Warthog.
Yeah, my personal favorite airplane is fucking awesome. And a Blue Angels jet and all kinds of stuff. And it was a...
I like the Harrier.
Fucking blast.
Harriers.
They didn't have any Harriers there. Oh, but I did sit in the cockpit in the pilot seat of the actual Spruce Goose.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, which is way bigger than I mm-hmm. fucking expected. The 71, the SR-71 Blackbird is smaller than I thought. The Spruce Goose is the fucking museum. It's... gigantic.
Yep.
Yeah, you could fit a house in the belly of that plane. It's magnificent. It has three stories. It's fucking huge. Yeah, no, and there were the docents there were really knowledgeable and very friendly and fucking hilarious.
Cool.
So I
this
had
was
a blast.
At the airport or this was
no
adjacent
close to the airport. Like,
oh, okay.
I think 20 minutes drive from the airport
okay.
is
okay.
the Evergreen Air and Space Museum.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds rad.
I got to see a Titan 1 and a Titan 2 rocket there from the space program. They had all kinds of stuff for that, and it was fucking awesome. And, like, actual cosmonaut gear and things in glass cases. It was brilliant. And I had so much fun bringing my nephew through there, despite the fact that he's constantly full of shenanigans. But, yeah, no, it was a good vacation, but then I was glad to get back, because while I was sitting in a car, that same rental car, driving from Redmond to Portland with the five other members of my family that were on the trip, I remembered why I can't ever live with them and why I moved out at such a tender age. It was, it had to happen. At some point, one of them went, What do you have in your ears? And I was like, earplugs. And they went, how long have you had those in? And I said, all day. Why? I can't imagine. Well, yeah. Fuck.
Did you get to the ocean at all?
No. I did
beautiful coast.
Hang out at Crater Lake for quite a while, though, which was phenomenal. I took what I think are beautiful pictures of like Mount Hood and Crater Lake and other things I'll show you guys on the break, and then if you would like, they can be included in the show notes. But or I can just add them in on Facebook. But somebody was like, wow, these photos are really pretty, and I was like, they're like passable photos of extraordinary circumstance and surroundings. Mm-hmm. It's fucking gorgeous out there. But I was really glad to fly back in over Minnesota.
Get home.
Yeah. It was nice. But it was like 50s and 60s. All
that
like
sounds
the
lovely.
1950s
Perfect.
And 1960s. No, I'm kidding. No, it was 50s and 60s in temperature.
That sounds amazing.
Yes. Why don't you bring it back?
Sounds amazing.
And then, once I got back, it was down in the 60s and 70s here. So I think the temperate sounds weather amazing. Was following me. I appreciate it. But had a fucking great time, and now I'm back for chess and other things.
The things.
Yeah. And the things, stuff. Yeah. I managed to maintain my diet the entire time, which...
Well done.
Yeah, my family was really surprisingly very cool about it, and even at a point, quite helpful. Like, at some point, my sister and my nephew were, like, doing the math. They were like, oh, okay, we got these snacks, and, okay, well, you can have, like, three of these cheese doodles. Ever. And I was like, I think I'll save that for a glass of wine later. I think I'll need it. But it was really nice to have time with them. So
very cool.
Yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Awesome.
Whee.
What have you been up to?
Me?
Yeah, since the last time you were here.
Since the last time. A lot of trying to get sleep. So as most listeners...
Why would that be?
Well, Mud Puddle turned 3 months on Sunday.
Aww.
So, and he's
cute.
Currently, hopefully asleep.
He's so cute.
When I abandoned the wife with him
to come do a stupid ass podcast.
Yeah,
he misses stuff. And
he was not too bad, but he was most of the weekend. He was spent grazing off the bottle or off of mom, and a lot of crying. And we're kind of thinking he's getting to one of those points where he's maybe doing a little growth spurt.
Yeah.
So he's almost up to 13 pounds already.
Oh, wow.
So. Yeah, he is quite a handful. Never thought we'd have kids. We've been together 10 years and married almost 2, and all of a sudden, surprise, I'm pregnant. So,
yeah.
So a lot of just work, go home, take care of the baby, take care of the puppy, sleep, repeat. So.
Do you have a pretty good support network in the area for, like, babysitting and helping out, or...?
Actually, I drive past your house every day to my support network. My father is retired.
Oh!
Thanks to Target and how they handle their employees and that are getting up in age.
Hmm.
He was basically forced to retire several years ago, so he's been taking care of my niece, who's 16, you know... When she's getting out of school, and we drop him off at about 5:40, 6 o'clock in the morning. Then we go to work. I get off before she does. Drive right past Salsa's house again, pick him up, drive back to work, pick up the wife, go home, get the pup out.
So
luckily my folks are only about a 20-minute drive away.
Okay.
So
that's good. That's helpful.
Yeah, it's real nice because we're in Burnsville, so basically we just got to jump onto 13, hit 77, and then take one turn. You know, and we're pretty much at my folks. So,
okay.
And her family's in Wisconsin, and they've come down a couple times just to hang out. And, even though it's like a 2-hour drive, right.
My side of the family doesn't live anywhere near here. So having Raterly's, you know, mother and aunts and sister and stuff like that nearby has been immensely helpful. And I can't imagine our friends that don't have relatives that live locally, how they're able to manage just boggles my mind. Because we would not be able to function without them.
We're still trying to find a nice medium where we can, you know, try it maybe once a month. Say, hey, Dad or sister, do you want to watch him? So we can maybe go see a movie or just have dinner so we can still have that adult time.
We're trying
to keep ourselves sane.
And
from listening to people who have had kids and other things, we know that we still need to make sure we have time for us. Mm-hmm. That first 2 days home, I think we had 2 meals. Oh. So we were stupid. We didn't take care of ourselves, and then we just burned ourselves bad.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't listen. And then luckily it only took 2 days to realize what we need to do. It's okay to let him cry so we can take a shower or so we can go eat.
Right.
So... No, so it's been really good.
That was the hardest thing for me, was just letting people come over and take care of us. Because I get weird when people that aren't us do our dishes. Even for like Thanksgiving or something like that, one of Raterly's aunts would come in and, you know, just after dinner would be like washing the dishes. And I'm like, that's not your job. You are a guest in our house.
Yeah.
Those are our dishes. That's our mess. Get the fuck out of my kitchen. And I have a hard, that's just one of my peccadillos. And so letting people just come into our house and do our laundry so that we could sleep and watch the baby. It was like that was kind of a hard thing to let go for me, but man, it made our lives better.
It feels weird because like my dad really wants to be helpful, so since he's watching the kid, he's actually bought his own diapers, wet wipes, bought some onesies to keep at the house, even though we bring over the diaper bag, which today he's like, oh, don't worry about that, I've got enough stuff, I got extra onesies here, I get picked, we'll drop him off in one outfit, and I'll see photos of him on Facebook.
He's fucking loving being a grandpa, isn't he?
This has actually been really good for him. He's getting him back in a routine, because he was out of a routine. He was starting to not take care as good of himself health-wise, because he didn't have that routine. So he was sleeping kind of irregularly and just kind of, I don't know, just not taking care of himself.
Is this a first grandkid for him?
Second. So I got my sister, who's younger than me, has a kid, and she's 16. And then, we got this one now. Okay. So he used to go to Target to get his baby fixed, but yeah, he actually... he's like, just bring over his laundry. I do laundry on Thursdays. So since we live in an apartment, that's, like a $6 saving for us.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So, every week and a half, every 2 weeks, we bring over basically one of the smaller IKEA bags with onesies. He washes it, folds it, and we just... So, it's really nice, and it's been really good for my dad. I know when my niece was born, it was really good for my grandfather. So, babies are really good for, just in general, the family, and kind of helps bring out the the things, and the family together. So I've seen my family now more than now that we've had the kid. Mm-hmm. So family's really important to Shannon. It's important to me too, but really to her because of the way she grew up. So she didn't get to know her grandparents.
Oh, okay.
So this is really important for her that, we spend that time. So we're trying to figure out something nice for Father's Day for him. So to show him how much we appreciate what he's done. Absolutely. To help us out. So,
My sister, she has a couple daughters, and I can't remember who was the first or second daughter that they had. My dad actually moved into their house because they lived out of state at that time, and he moved into their house for the first 3 or 4 months just so they could, you know, be that new parent and and still be able to get a little bit of sleep here and there and take a shower and eat. You know, he's kind of the live-in nanny for a few months just to kind of help him get used to the routine. And because I mean, he knows what the fuck he's doing. Mm-hmm. You know, he raised 6 kids.
Yeah. Oh wow.
You know,
I suppose he
yes, it's been a few years since he's done it, but some of those muscles, you know, it's like getting back on a bicycle. Like my dad knows how to handle a crying kid.
Yeah, it can definitely be challenging to, especially if you haven't been around a little kid in a long time, which I hadn't, you know, because I used to babysit, sure, with, you know, put on diapers and change the kid and stuff.
Completely different beast.
But yeah. When he's with you all the time, it is definitely a different monster. And he sounds like a monster sometimes, too.
I was going to say, very literally, monster. Yeah.
I mean, I just can't believe that, you know, the lungs that this kid has on him. It's like, oh, okay, I don't think you're going to have dad's asthma.
No, it's the pictures online have been absolutely adorable.
Yeah.
And I don't want to patronize you by giving you a bunch of advice or anything like that. But good job. You made a really cute kid.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah,
if you put a picture of him, we have a picture of him with my teddy bear from when I was an infant next to him right now, you almost couldn't tell who was who. That's how close we look. And then actually the same as for my father and I, we look that much alike as little kids. So he's very cute. And I am very surprised how cute he turned out being my kid.
I say that all the time, too. But now Asher is 3, and we could definitely see where he's getting my son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mrs. Stuffin, I told her I had to stop giving her crap, saying that it wasn't my kid once I looked at my baby photos and looked at him. Like, yeah, okay, fine. Oh, I'll stop the jokey now.
Yeah.
Now, when my sister and I were little, she used to tell me that the aliens left me there and that my parents just decided to keep me and that kind of stuff. And finally, my dad was like, all right, that's enough of that. And dug out our baby books, and our photos are essentially, like, our birth photos are essentially identical, but flipped. He was like, look, you two are 100% related, so if the aliens left you...
then I'm Star-Lord.
Well, that, but also... David Hasselhoff is my dad. The photos where you can see that that match is always really like a charming thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a huge load off of my mind, because then she was like, "Yeah, the aliens left you," and I was like, "Then they must have left you too." Best friends now.
Okay.
Yeah. That is all.
All right.
Good though. Good work.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
I have been consuming some media that I want to talk about.
Oh yeah.
One TV show and one video game.
Okay.
I'll start with the video game. I've been playing a game called Remember Me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very cyberpunk.
Oh.
Like, this is like Snow Crash cyberpunk shit going on here. It's
pretty
great in that respect. Basically, it is many, many years in the future in this, you know, dystopian, cyberpunk future, wherein they have figured out how to digitize memories.
Hmm.
So it's kind of a, like, sort of Total Recall in that respect. But you play a person who is able to manipulate people's memory.
Oh.
And so there's this one thing you can do, and you don't do it very often in the game. You only do it like four or five times. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how many times because I haven't finished, but I've only done it three or four times in the entire, and I'm almost near the end. But this thing you do where you remix memories, mm-hmm. and what you do is you, because everybody has this little glowing disc at the back of their neck. That you can access using, you know, your hacker tools, basically. Sure. And you enter their memories and you watch a scene as it plays out. Okay? And then what you need to do is you need to go back and remix it. Like, at the beginning, there's one character who hates you because they blame you for the death of their husband. Okay?
Shit.
So, because their husband died, and they blame you for it, and so they're trying to, you know, get you for it. And so you go in and remix their memory, and what you need to do is you watch the scene play out, and then you manually rewind it or go forward and move forward and backwards in time, and you'll see a little glitch. And what you can do is you can tweak the glitch a little bit. And the thing is not all of the glitches do something. So what you need to do is find the correct combination of glitches to activate and not activate as time goes on. And by doing that, you can change their memory of what happened. Oh, so the very first one,
yeah,
the very first one you do is you kind of move backwards and forward, and they're in a hospital, you know, a terminally ill patient. Mm-hmm. And you basically twist their memory so that the doctor is the one who killed the husband through his malpractice.
Oh.
Or at least that's what they remember happening.
Hmm. Right.
So you make them remember it incorrectly, and so that now they blame the doctor for having killed their husband, and they don't blame you, so now they're your ally.
Oh, shit. That's really fucked up.
It is really kind of fucked up. And then like, later on...
Well, it's on my wish list now.
Later on, one of the main bad guys, like... You need to basically remove their motivation for this big project that is turning everyone into zombies, basically, you know, because they're so angry about this thing. And you need to, and basically what it is there was a car accident where they lost their leg, and you need to tweak their memory so that they think it was their own fault.
Ah.
You know, so you change it so that... And a little bit of a spoiler here, but you basically like you uncover, you shift something over so that their cell phone is visible, and then you cause them to like spill coffee and while they're like checking their phone, and so that they lose control and they crash.
Shit.
And again, this didn't actually happen, but it's what they remember happening.
Oh, fuck.
And so now their motivation has completely changed.
Right.
Because now instead of blaming someone else for this, they're blaming themselves for this. So now their motivation is different. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's, again, pretty fucked up.
Yeah,
But, like, that's one of the mechanics that this game has. And the rest of it is kind of a... Assassin's Creed climbing slash Devil May Cry combat game.
Sure.
In this, again, very cyberpunk world, with people who have become corrupted by digital, like, faulty digital memories and stuff, and so they basically become zombies.
Yeah.
Or you know, ghouls, and have become misshapen, and then you've got the elite people who are guarded by these big, you know, brutes and stuff like that. And so by getting these digital powers, you're able to progress through the storyline. But yeah, it's like I said, very, very cyberpunk and a lot of fun. I'm really rather enjoying it a great deal. I was sold on it because of this idea of the memory tweaking.
Yeah.
And like I said, it doesn't happen very often, but the rest of the game more than makes up for it. It's a really interesting storyline. You've got this they're not called terrorists, they're called errorists. Because, again,
right.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
but like this, the resistance group who are fighting against the bourgeoisie and trying to say stop erasing our memories and stuff like that. So a lot of fun. I recommend that. The other thing is a TV show that I have been watching on Netflix.
Yes.
And it is from the 70s, so there will be no spoilers here. I'm sorry if you haven't seen it by now.
Hello. This is not...
That is actually probably why it came up on my recommendations on Netflix.
Oh, yeah?
Because it is kind of that idea. It takes place during World War II.
Oh, okay.
And what it is it's the British Home Guard.
Hmm.
If you don't know what that is, it is during World War II. Mm-hmm. You had all of the young, strapping, you know, men who were off in Europe fighting the war. But back in Britain, you had the Home Guard. And that was all of the people that were either too young or too old or were sure. in some ways disabled or for some reason could not join the military.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was a desperate war,
right?
It was just everybody was part of the war effort.
Every person has something they can do to fight the Kaiser.
Exactly. Yeah. So the Home Guard were the old people and the people that had medical deferments and stuff like that.
Sure.
And they were basically patrolling the shores,
right?
Watching out for
to keep Jerry spies. From exactly. dropping in and pretending to be a nun.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so it's. It's called Dad's Army, and
I've heard of this.
Yeah, and so it's this group of Home Guard, and it's really funny, because it's a bunch of 70-year-old men who one of them was, he was in the army when he was a kid, and by that I mean in India.
Right.
Like, fighting in the British colonialization of India, right. you know. So he's always talking, you know, remembering back in to that time when he was fighting against people with spears. And you know, he's super keen and he's always, you know, the permission to speak, sir, you know. Even though he's 70 years old, this doddering idiot, he's volunteering for fucking everything. And, mm-hmm. and just really, like, gung-ho about it, everything. And then you've got the, like, the bank manager is the captain, and you've got this 17-year-old kid who wears his scarf to, like, maneuvers, and whenever the captain is like, take off that scarf at once, he's like, me mom says I can't take it off or I'll catch me cold, sir. like his mother oh. will show up in the middle of you know, parade and berate the captain for letting his kid get a, you know, dirt on his face. And it's like, we're digging foxholes. Well, that's no reason to get him. And just like, she will berate him because he's the little, like, innocent 17-year-old son who sure. doesn't know anything about the world. And then you've got the Cockney guy who, he is the basically the con artist.
Sure.
Like, he's the guy who, no matter what they need, he knows a guy he can get something he can get for you. You know?
Yeah.
Only 15 bob, sir. You know? And like, no matter what they need, oh, I've got one of those. I'll give you £3 each. You know? That guy. Who finagled a medical discharge, which is why right. he's not in the regular army.
Ah.
So he's, you know, he's trying to make a buck everywhere. And, you know, like, selling off equipment, you know, left and right and stuff like that. And then, so you've got this band of misfits. Most of them are old.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to be a platoon of Home Guard.
Sure.
You know? And it's really silly and funny, and they get themselves into some really, you know, funny situations.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, in, like, season 3 or 4,
mm-hmm.
we suddenly have an episode where we discover that one of the old guys, the sweetest, gentlest old man who is always the one who makes them tea, and he's bringing shortbreads and everything like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just this nice, wonderful old man. We find out that in the First World War, he was a conscientious objector.
Ah. Mm.
And suddenly, everybody treats him like shit. Like, everybody suddenly is treating him like dirt. They're calling him names. They're, you know, and like I said, he's this just sweet, gentle old guy. And, you know, they're calling him a Kanchi. And, like, he brings in shortbread one day. And, like, nobody takes any of his shortbread except the 17-year-old kid. And when he takes a piece, the old Scotsman, like, knocks it out of his hand.
Oh. Well, that's
like,
harsh.
Oh yeah, no, it was seriously like wrench your heart out of your chest stuff. And then of course we find out later in the episode he actually saves the captain's life. And while he's convalescing, they go in and they discover that he has the highest military honor hanging on his bedroom wall.
Sure.
And they're like, we thought you were a conscientious objector. And his wife is like, oh, he was. So he joined the medical corps and he saved fucking tons of lives and walked into the middle of a battlefield to save lives and stuff like that.
Shit.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. And just shames the shit out of everyone. You know, and so suddenly they feel like awful because he turns out he's a fucking war hero.
Right.
And they're like, why didn't you tell us that you're a fucking war hero? Why aren't you wearing these medals right now? Right. And he's like, oh, I don't like to put on airs, sir. You know, it would seem a little bit ostentatious,
right?
It, you know, see, exactly. You're just like, what the fuck? Oh, it's so good. I really it's like 10 seasons.
Oh wow!
And the first season is in black and white. Like that's how old this is.
Nice.
But really, really, really enjoyable. I'm loving it. I really, really
might be a good thing for me to have on in the background while I'm doing serious work and stuff. Yeah.
So Dad's Army, watch it. It's really good.
The missus would love that because she loves the British.
Oh, yeah.
All those British shows. And it's surprising that it made it that long considering how most of those shows on, you know, the British are only like 2 to 3 seasons. So.
Well, and much like British sitcoms, each season is only like 6 or 7 episodes long. You know, so they're short seasons.
Sure.
But that's still like 60 episodes.
Yeah.
And like you said, they are legitimately really funny. You know, you do kind of have these misfits. You know, you've got the Scotsman who was in the Navy and he's super old. and of course you've got the MP for the area, who's actual military, who fucking hates the captain of the Home Guard, just because like he thinks they're out to get him or something like that. Just they've got beef, you know, and so it's just,
which was rare in wartime Britain.
I know, right? they talk like, because the old guy who was fighting in India, he's the butcher.
Yeah.
And so, like, often conversations revolve around rationing, and, he remembers, you know, he talks about how many stamps somebody has used, and there's kind of, like, he remembers these things, you know, and that actually plays in, where he'll be like, well, that's really funny, because I remember him not having many stamps left this week, you know, stuff like that. You know, so, but, like, all of that wartime stuff that British of the 70s would absolutely understand, like,
sure,
all of that is in there. It's absolutely in there. You know, like I said, the rationing. There's one where one episode where they're supposed to be on the lookout for parachutes, and they're like, well, how are we supposed to know if it's a German that has parachuted in or a British who, you know, was practicing or had to
barely made it back?
How do we know if this parachute is a German that we need to be looking for? Or if Michelle
of the Resistance has
sent
them home?
And they're like, well, if it's a British parachute, it's this color, and if it's a German parachute, it's this color. And the Cockney, he's like, I actually found a parachute a couple weeks ago. Whoa. And they're like, what color was it? And he's like, I don't remember. And it's like, well, what did you do with it? Well, I had it made into women's knickers. and I sold them. So, like, part of this episode is them going door to door trying to figure out who bought these.
No.
And, you know, and of course it's a comedy, so they're saying things like, well, what color are your knickers, you know?
Show us your knickers.
Exactly. Yeah. And except for the one guy who's like the bank assistant.
Yeah.
And he's an older guy too, but somehow he magically has a way with the ladies. Like,
okay.
And completely innocently, like, sure. he's not the Randy, like, I'm gonna go get him, but just, like, he just quietly, the ladies like him a lot, you know? And,
yeah.
And so, like, they get to one house, and there's this beautiful 20-something, you know, woman there, and so they're like, you know, we want to see what color your underwear are, and she's like, "Whoa, oh, come inside," and they all start to go, and she's like, "Just him." You're just like, and then it, you know, he comes out a little bit later, and they're like, "Well, was it this color or this color?" Oh, neither. Yeah. So,
have you seen Hacksaw Ridge?
I have not, no.
Because it sounds like that character you're just describing is basically like the character that's that this movie is based on. Mm-hmm. And, but he's from the United States.
Okay.
And it's Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really good movie. I actually normally don't like war movies, but this one I got into.
Mm-hmm. I heard that one was pretty brutal.
It definitely was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't imagine you have a weak stomach, but
James likes your joke.
Yeah. No, he'll be fine, I'm sure. No, if anything, I'm the one who's like sensitive about très violence
sensitive.
And
très sensitive.
Yeah, about violence and gore and misery and things like that. So, no, Sauce will be fine. I think you were telling me about something that you were doing in Shadow of Mordor, where you were like, yeah, and then I fucking turn them inside out, and I'm like, ugh, and you're like, what? It's, yeah, they're the bad guy. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I got. I recommend those two.
Sure. Your interest in cyberpunk memory genre stuff leads me to commend to you the show Altered Carbon.
I have seen it recommended to me on Zenith
Services. Yeah, so. Yeah, it's good. It is also violent,
okay,
but it is compelling cyberpunk genre stuff. Yeah. Cool.
I will have to actually watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Do we want to take a break?
Sounds like a thing right now.
Yay! You good?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do that, and then we will come back.
Hooray! Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Mud.
Yay!
And we decided in the break that we didn't know what to talk about.
Yeah.
So I brought up a random topic generator.
Ooh, it's been a while.
Online. Well, we used to do random word generators. This is actually a random conversation topic generator. So random question number one. What's better, having high expectations or having low expectations?
Oof.
That depends on
the situation or what it is.
Right, but this is part of the conversation, is like, in general,
but the,
are you, because this is also not exactly the same question as, are you an optimist or a pessimist? But
it's not, but the thing is,
yeah.
I feel like you should have high expectations of people.
Sure, I agree.
I think the problem here is making this a binary instead of a continuum thing.
Right.
Because I feel like you should have high expectations of people, and you should temper expectations of things. Like, you shouldn't have low expectations of, like, a movie.
No, yeah.
But you should also not go in thinking it's amazing. You should go in with
Reasonable expectations.
Yeah.
Honestly, I try to go in neutral, especially for movies. But when it comes to people, I tend to have low expectations just because of general humanity.
I mean, it also depends on the people. The people I surround myself with, I try to have high expectations with because I like to think that I've surrounded myself with good people.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, for the most part, the people I surround myself with are pretty good people that I expect a lot from, and,
right.
and they deliver. Most of the time.
I understand I'm the exception, but...
No, well, yeah. I mean, you've got to have one or two in the group.
Right. In order to... That helps to grade on the curve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like if there's somebody that you have generally low expectations of, why are you friends with?
There is that.
Those are the people I tend to cut. Mm. And family.
Yeah. What? Fair. Yeah, I mean...
I mean, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb.
Yes. Yeah,
I love my family, don't get me wrong, but I'm not necessarily going to be best friends with most of them.
I wore my earplugs for 12 hours a day for the entirety of the weekend. So,
I genuinely like and love my family.
Yes.
I'm not going to be friends with some of them. There are a couple of them that after a few hours I'm like, okay, give me the...
Well, we gotta go. Yeah.
I'm glad you can make it that long with some of your family.
I am a very patient man.
Much more than I.
Yes. You'd be surprised.
I would be surprised.
Well, look how we did this with Matt.
Oh, yeah.
And Jenna.
Oh, true. Fair. Yeah. See? And now me. That's he fair.
I am friends with you, James.
That's correct. Okay.
This is what it's like.
Yeah. So the... for me, there was scientific research where they said if you expect bad things from people, or if you have very low expectations for people or animals, that affects the outcome, and they tend to be, like they said, in a classroom environment, if you select a group of people and you're like, these people are going to suck. They're going to be loud, disruptive, and bad students.
You will subconsciously treat them slightly different. And
right.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It has an effect on the outcome, and they become loud, disruptive, bad students.
Right.
In general. And that's kind of fucking incredible, but it means that if I want the best out of people, I have to expect the best out of people. Mm-hmm. But for me, I also pair that or temper it with... the idea that if someone doesn't meet my expectations, that's not their fault necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, there are definitely circumstances in which it's their fucking fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, use your fucking blinker, people. Mm-hmm. It is not their fault if they fail to meet the expectations that I have for them. And this is something that I've been running into for a long time because I hold myself to an extraordinarily high standard. I don't meet it. But I try to.
Right.
And I can't hold other people to that same standard. And I can be disappointed in myself if I don't make that standard, which means that, yes, I am pretty continually disappointed in myself.
We're probably pretty disappointed in you, James.
Good. That means that your scale is accurate.
Yep.
But I... Mud just smiles. Visual jokes on an audio podcast. TM, Becky Schmidt. If people fail to meet that expectation, I tend to be a lot more patient and generous with other people about that. A lot more forgiving than I am with myself. And I think that's just because I feel like I should have control over it. And I know what my expectations for myself are, where they probably don't. So, yeah.
I think that's where I kind of get into trouble, too, is I hold myself at a high, you know, high rate of expectations for myself. And then when those other people don't meet that, then I'm just like, well, what's wrong with you? You know, like my subordinates at work.
That, I feel like work is a maybe because that has a measurable.
it does, but of course, you know, being a homebody like I am, that's kind of my extent for the most part. Especially stopping, you know, since I don't do the fest thing anymore and all that, so just have the work and
that's your socialization.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
See, the thing my cousin always used to say was, if people have low expectations of you, they don't expect much from you. And you can just get away with not doing things.
For a moment there, I was like, that's not profound. Huh.
No, it just means that... Yeah. It just means that...
Doing the bare minimum.
Exactly. Yeah. You do the bare minimum, exceeds and people don't get irritated with you when you don't move mountains.
Well, and that's one of the reasons I hold
but
myself
when
high
you
standard.
Do, they're always so amazing.
I suppose.
See, if you set low standards, then when you exceed them, then you're amazing.
When you do get something for your wife for your anniversary.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No, this is... You have finally figured it out.
Hit the nail upon
you have,
the top.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hit the nail upon the top. When you don't get your wife an anniversary present for 6 years, and the seventh year you do, she's fucking blown away.
All right, I gotta stop buying gifts for a while, then.
Salsa, we may have just got ourselves in trouble with Mrs. Mudd.
She tells me to calm down with what I buy her anyways for gifts. So
everybody knows that we're bad influences. This is,
remember. Low expectations.
Remember, scale of one to salsa.
Yeah.
This one was definitely like an 8.
Low expectations. We're meeting and exceeding them. Yeah.
Exactly. See? Yeah. This is I am completely comfortable being the goofus to Mud's Gallant. Because somebody needs to be the goofus.
Suppose. Otherwise, you have Gallant and Lesser Gallant.
There was many times.
What the fuck that means? All right.
Many times at Fest where there were women out there that were asking, "Can we get some DNA from your boyfriend so we can clone him?" Well, because I was all
creepy or anything like that.
Well,
I understand the sentiment you're going for, but can you do it in slightly less James Bond villain ways?
I mean, there is an extraction point, but really, it's not open to the public.
I mean, it might
could be.
I guess that's fair.
I don't know
what their expectations are. Yeah.
I'm not judging.
No, I don't have the moral high ground to judge. Yeah. Well, and that's the...
You don't even have the moral low ground.
No. I have, like, a moral foxhole.
You have, like, a moral mushroom.
God damn it! That's... Get out of your house. Okay. That's fine. Bring your scotch with you.
Okay.
Welcome back.
Okay.
But the... Salsa? All right. Now that it's just us.
How you doing?
Better now. I wonder if he did, how far he went. All right. Well, that's fine. But no, I think it's important to have high expectations for other people. And there we go. Welcome back.
My wife said I had to come back.
Fair enough. I'll remember to say thank you to her later. Thanks. Yeah. I think it's important to have high expectations for other people. But
I think we're rehashing the same well-worn tread at this point. All right. Next topic.
Woo!
Would you be willing to reduce your lifespan by 10 years to become rich or famous?
Sure. I feel like you may already be making that exchange.
Also that is not inaccurate.
Yeah.
I mean, once I'm dead, I won't care.
Mm.
Like, it would definitely suck for other people, but I could die tomorrow and I wouldn't care.
Well, not afterward. That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And besides, as Dennis Leary says, smoking takes 10 years off your life. Yeah, but they're at the end. Those are the years you don't want.
Yeah. Well.
I'm not saying that because I'm like, I want to be rich or famous. What I'm saying is, would I take 10 years off my life to be nice, especially in this economy, to be able to afford food? And nice things for my family and not live paycheck to paycheck.
Like do the Keanu Reeves thing and be a super awesome human being with your wealth.
Or, be philanthropic. Yeah. I have daydreams about what I would do if I would win the lottery, and a lot of it involves the local art scene.
Yeah.
This is one of the things that I have daydreamed about.
Yeah.
A building I would purchase in probably the uptown area. One of the walls would be just a big, huge, flat brick wall, and invite a local artist. You know, do a contest or some sort of patronage program, but have a local artist come and paint a mural on the wall, a big full length, you know, huge mural, and pay them, and that would basically be their job for a summer or for a year or whatever, and however long it would take them. But like that would just basically say, I am paying you as much, you know, a full time job to paint this mural, and then have it be there for 5 years, 10 years, you know, something like that, documented, obviously, you know, and then after an allotted amount of time, paint it white, invite another artist to come, and put a brand new mural up there.
Oh, nice.
And then in the lobby of the building, you would have all of the past
versions. Yeah.
You know, you would have that documented. You would still have that visible so that their art is still living, you know, so you're not
while the actual mural is permanent.
Honestly, and this is going to sound strange, but similar to the Corn Palace in Yankton, South Dakota.
Yeah.
But that is corn art, but it is a new design every year.
No, it is. I thought it was in Mitchell, and the...
Yeah, you're right, Mitchell.
I went there and had a just thoroughly disappointing time.
I'm not saying that, but that idea of having, you know, having and paying
something evergreen,
paying somebody well, have them paint this thing, have it be that landmark for, you know, a few years.
Yeah.
And then give the next person the opportunity.
Sure.
Same thing. Pay them very well. Let their art get out there.
Yeah.
You know, be somebody who can, you know, and of course a lot of other art things, but that was just one of the
ideas. Be the new Arby's sign, but actually something of value.
You know, and then have it be, you know, like, and every, like I said, just spitballing 5 years or something like that, you have that one person who's just like, that is their job, is to be out there painting this thing, and then you get news crews out there and interviews, and you get their name out there, and you put their name everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And just try to really, really push them forward in as an artist, you know, and then have that be that landmark that people anticipate that 5 years later, you know, you're just like, this is the year. Who's it going to be? You know, and artists submit stuff and they
oh, that's fucking awesome.
Know, and other artists recommend them and you really, you know, who's going to be the next person that you really push forward to, or two artists or however, depending on the size of the building. Things like that.
Maybe just surround the fucking thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But things like that. You know, it's like, if I won the lottery, it wouldn't be like Lamborghinis. It would be like, how do I make other artists?
Yeah.
Because art needs help.
Yeah, it does.
It really, really sucks that needs to be said, but art needs help.
Yeah. Well, somebody that I respect said art is unnecessary, inherently. The thing that we define as being art...
I disagree with you 100%.
Well, it is necessary to the soul. Like, it's a food for the soul, but that thing which is art is the thing which is above and beyond simple function. Something can be artistically beautiful and completely functional, but the idea of art is it's something that you are adding to the world more than just food, sex, sleep, and effort.
Okay, so in penicillin is unnecessary
thing.
Because penicillin is not food, sex, or, you know, whatever, and it's a medicine for the body.
You may be picking this apart a little too thoroughly.
I'm kind of passionate about it, though.
No,
because
I understand.
Because it really legitimately bothers me when people say that art is unnecessary. And to that I say, this country has a really shitty relationship with the brain.
Yeah. Well, and when I say unnecessary...
In the assumption that mental health
I believe
and,
that...
And that sort of thing right. is not as important.
Art is essential yes. to human life and civilization. Like, the reason that we have accomplished any mm-hmm. good thing that we have done is our ability to work together, our mm-hmm. Ability to make reasonable decisions yep. and function as a society. And much of that relies on art, whether it's the art of creating a written history, storytelling...
Music.
Cave drawings, music, all of these things, they are entirely dependent on art. They are not a basic bodily function in the same way, but they create something that is essential to society, but we often view it as being something more than
mm-hmm.
just the bare minimum.
Which I hate.
Sure.
Because I legitimately, genuinely feel like that idea that food, clothing, and shelter are the bare minimums is right. a very Western...
The Maslow's...
idea.
Yeah.
And that just because it's the Western idea doesn't mean it's true.
Correct.
And yeah. I believe, fair. I genuinely believe that the necessities to life are, yes, food, clothing, and shelter, and something to stimulate yeah. your mind.
Well, there's a reason that storytelling by the fireside existed before we had... stable
mm-hmm.
housing.
And I mean, art comes in many different ways, and yeah. I'm not necessarily saying that you know, one type of art is mm-hmm. is more than another, but to me, the idea that saying art is not a necessity to life, I disagree with on a fundamental level.
I tend to agree in that way, but what he was saying is that it's it is essential to us, but that people tend to view it as being...
Yes, people tend to view right, it, yeah. and they're wrong.
Sure. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
I have opinions about this.
Duly noted. But, like I said, there's a reason that people were telling stories by the fire. It's, mm-hmm. It is imperative to society... Even though it is not a biological function, it is a function of our larger brains, mm-hmm. Which are important to us as living organisms.
No, but it is a neurological
yeah.
necessity.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a process where many of the people that we know who create things or swallow things... Or do whatever it is that they're doing yep. as far as performance or creation, it internally it builds up and it becomes an essential process mm-hmm. for that person. They do it because they have to.
Yeah.
And in that way, it is necessary. But it's even more beautiful to me because it is something above and beyond the most basic mm-hmm. requirements for life. Just to put things in, to let things out, and to make more of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That it is beyond that. That is what is quintessentially amazing about it, to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, yeah, I would be rich so I could be philanthropic.
Fuck yes. That's awesome.
Try to do good in the world.
You know, it. When you say rich and famous, my thought is, you know, the some of the...
Well, having it says to become rich or famous.
Rich or, okay.
And I mean, these are obviously random, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Interpret them how they will. But the actual question does say or, so it doesn't
okay.
mean... You don't have to be famous.
Because, you know, like, I'm just thinking it's like, oh, man, I would not want to be famous just because of all the hassles sure. that, you know, the famous people have, yeah. you know. But, I mean, if I could...
There are different kinds of fame, though.
Yeah.
You know, there is... You know, Hollywood movie star famous, you know, always being followed around by paparazzi. And then
right.
there's, like, Harrison Ford famous, who's really fucking famous and lives on a ranch somewhere and doesn't do a lot of interviews and is actually kind of hermetic. And
yeah.
then there's, like, you know, example escapes me, and forgive me, please, for this one, but like, Rupert Murdoch. Famous or something like that. Somebody
Gross.
who everybody knows
is a know, Bond villain.
But, effectively. But everybody knows is a mover and a shaker. You yeah. know, but isn't like plastered on every billboard.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who is influential and is known and famous therefore, but is not a like public figure.
Yeah. So to speak.
Everyone knows the name Elon Musk. I don't think anyone.
Could draw Elon Musk. Much better example.
Well, very few people. I think. Yeah.
I personally, I'd give it up if I could get the money. You know, to become rich, just because we've actually talked, like, if, because Shani used to play the lottery with her co-workers, you know, I was like, what would we do if we got a bunch of money? Right. Versus, well, let's get a new car, let's, well, you know, we've already talked about, you know, we would donate some to the cancer centers, because her mom and my mom went through ovarian and uterine cancer basically the same time. So, you know, we'd try to do, you know, give money to that, you know, first make sure we had what we needed. But, you know, I never thought I'd live this long, you know, being a teen and, you know, kind of going back to it with the arts, like Celso was talking about, art saved my life. You know, I did origami. I did origami, and it centered me.
Agreed. Yeah.
It centered me in when I got super depressed and would want to harm myself, get a piece of paper out, fold something, and it brought joy to people. Mm-hmm. My uncle, when he was dying from HIV, he was losing his eyesight. I made things that were different shapes, different colors, and he could see them. So, in actually each of his urns, there's a small piece of origami that I made for him that went in there. So, they're sealed in there, and each of those urns, one's buried with my grandmother, one's buried with my grandfather. Yeah. But, you know, we would definitely give, you know, to the, to if we had the money, you know, we would definitely be one of those people, too, who would give it to who we can. You know, the organization I work, I do dolls with, they would get a... They would get some money. We crochet dolls for kids with different disabilities and, you know, cancer or birth defects. So, you know, that would be something else.
Basically, everybody on this podcast is a better human being than I am.
It's true.
I mean, deny it.
I don't
exactly
know.
Yeah, exactly.
You have two wonderful children.
Yeah, my kids are wonderful.
Okay, that comes from Raiderly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Someone raises them when she's not here, when she's off saving humanity.
James, it's a fucking joke. Move on.
I was going to say that. I thought that was what Raiderly's mom was for.
You know that's what I run. What I do with jokes is running them into the ground.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay,
I know so well. I know.
For me personally, I have said before, I would like to add something, like, it's my selfishness that I want to change the way that people perceive the world. And for me, that is the strength of art, of that kind of creation, is that it's not just the one thing that you create. It's that people then take that and they view their world through a lens that has been reshaped by that thing that you made. And that can be fucking phenomenal. Like, look at Star Trek in the 1960s. As much as the 1960s were completely fraught with problems, being able to take really potent and topical issues and translate them into something that people would willingly watch.
Like green chicks.
Right. Racism, slavery.
Bang or not.
Right. Kirk's chest, that kind of stuff. The important things.
The Gorn.
Right. Well, even in that episode, like, you're talking to a Star Trek and Star Wars fan. So, yeah, I'm able to say, well, this is... And they always had, like, the, well, you see, Timmy moment in most episodes. But I really value that art became something deeply important to society and probably changed a lot of people's minds, a lot of the ways that they view the world through talking about extremely topical and very difficult subjects outside of the everyday, taking it somewhere where it was safe to talk about it, which you can really only do with art. So... I think that's fucking amazing, invaluable, And I would love to contribute to that. I would love to think that I could contribute something like that to the world. And so that's my goal. I don't think I'm going to live that long. So if I have 40 years to live, taking 10 years off of that is a big fucking deal. That means I'm already dead. But if I'm going to live 80 years, that's a little easier to say, you know, I could die at 70. But, like, I miss Douglas Adams. I wish he was still around.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he was still contributing things. He died at 49.
Right.
And... But
I mean, if he died at 49 or 59, he'd still be dead.
Right. We are all going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
But
we're all going to go, and we are all going to go at a time that we do not know.
But would it be...
we can easily say 10 years off, but does anybody else know that? Does anybody else know that that's 10 years off? You, for all you know, you could live to be 90 with 10 years taken off.
Yeah.
Where you were originally going to live to be 100.
Well, and the other thing is...
Who fucking knows?
As much as I would love it if Douglas Adams did live to be 59, that time is up.
Like, yeah.
He would still be dead right now if he lived to 59. Exactly. And the other thing is, if he traded his fame and fortune, would we know? Would we...
No,
like,
and
the world would be a much poorer place
is I look at
without
this,
the things that he
I look at this as 10 years... that we are not guaranteed in the first place. Because none of us know. If we knew...
Yeah, Marie Curie might have been hit by a bus even if she didn't...
Exactly. If
contribute amazingly to scientific research.
If we knew when we were going to die, and 10 years got taken off of that...
Sure.
That might change the equation slightly.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know. So we're taking a random point in the future and... switching it for a slightly different random point in the future.
Yeah.
Whereas becoming rich means we can do good now. That is a tangible thing that we can say, yes, I have the ability to do good in the world now.
Yeah.
As opposed to 10 years of, I don't know if I'm just going to be sitting in front of the TV masturbating into a sock.
I hope so.
I don't know. Whereas, you know, that
sounds like my dream job.
I mean, to be fair, somebody's got to test those socks. For softness.
Oh,
so linty.
All right,
next question. What was your worst restaurant experience?
I've got one.
Oh.
I talked about this on the Awfulcopter, but I was sitting with my dad, and this has happened now two or three times, and somebody nearby has just become suddenly explosively racist.
Okay.
And the thing is, like, I'm not prepared to handle that, and I wish that I was. I need to... Like, if somebody comes at me with a knife, I am more prepared... Through classes, I am more prepared to handle somebody threatening my very life.
Yep.
Than I am dealing with societal problems like casual or explosive racism.
Yeah. I feel like you're not the only person with that problem, though.
No.
Well, I feel like
societal problems I feel would exist less if we did know what to do about that.
Right. Well, I feel like that is one of the privileges of being white. Mm-hmm. Is that we don't have to know, and I'm realizing that a bunch of our friends...
But it is our responsibility, too.
Yes, it absolutely is. But it is, like, the curse of many of our friends, that this is something that they do know how to deal with because they have to on a day-to-day basis. But yeah, no, this I was having a great breakfast with my dad, and this dude just fucking flies off the handle. He's like, apparently, I'm the... Like, he's typing angrily on his tablet, and then he's like, apparently, I'm the problem because I'm white, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa. I don't know.
Shit.
Yeah, no, and I was expecting, like, is this dude gonna pull a gun on the restaurant? And again, I was more... I was like, all right, I know how to disarm him if he takes out a gun, and I can hand the gun to my dad, and he will know what to do. He's a service member, and, like... Then I can restrain him, and this... And so, again, way more than prepared if he drew a gun on the restaurant, prepared to handle that, not at all prepared to handle the conversation with him about what the fuck is wrong with him. And... he eventually just, like, got up and stormed out. But holy shit. And it made me wish that I knew fucking anything about what would diffuse that situation, what would be the correct response. And I don't know that there is one, but...
I feel like in that situation, there may not be. Because, honestly, we don't know the situation, who he is, what he's doing, what he's dealing with, who he's talking to.
Sure.
We have none of that.
Yeah.
And addressing that is only going to escalate.
Yeah. It probably would. We had a situation at a restaurant where someone had been in 2 days before, came in to bitch mm-hmm. about something, and, yeah, someone in the restaurant finally was like, just shut the fuck up, we're trying to eat breakfast. And it got almost violent between those two.
Yeah. Shit.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, that's...
I don't know if there is the right answer.
Yeah, that is a tough situation to, you know, because I know I've called people out, and then it's gotten awkward. I'm just like, fuck this, and walked away.
Yeah.
Because it's like, obviously, we're not going to fix this.
Sure.
Because, you know, I can't fix you being an asshole, but...
No, but I also...
It's tough.
Don't want to... allow people like that dude to continue being an asshole unchecked.
I mean, like, the strategies that... and again, this doesn't really apply because the person he was arguing with was...
Somewhere else.
Yeah. And so when you engage, it's just the two of you. It is you against him. And the situation is different when there's another party involved because the strategy that I have often seen is to... instead of engaging with the asshole,
right,
to engage with the person being set upon and just be a supportive voice and get between them and take away the other person's power, basically, by getting between them, ignoring them, letting the other person know that you have their back, that you are there to support them if they need mm-hmm. anything and stuff like that. And now it is a conversation between you and the other person, and they are the third party.
Yeah.
And they can either become the aggressor of the situation, or they can leave.
Yeah.
But with just you against him and a computer, that's not there. Now it is... literally you against him. That is
stand between him and his computer.
Yeah, like that's there's nothing you could really do. And I feel like in that situation there just might not be a right answer. Because no matter what you do or say, he will be defensive.
Yeah.
And when people get defensive, they're not going to listen to you could have the most amazing, well thought out argument, but he's going to be on the defensive.
No, I had like in the little box factory of shit that my brain wants me to say.
Yeah.
Luckily the floor manager of my mouth was like, well, nope, shut that down.
Yeah.
That's cause nothing that's coming out of here is going to be good for anybody.
That is a cut your losses moment.
Yeah.
Yes. That person does need to, you know, I mean, yes, something should be said to that person, but in that moment, in that time, you are not the right person to say that.
Probably.
And that is... That sucks.
Yeah.
I wish there was something, but that moment, there's nothing you could do.
I would like to be. I would like to have...
Absolutely. I think we all would.
Yeah.
That sucks. I'm sorry you had that experience.
Well, and like I said, this is like the third time that this shit has happened to me. I was working at a Chinese restaurant, and somebody came up to me, and the manager introduced him to me. My manager, who was from China, came up and was like, yeah, this is one of our best customers and that kind of thing. And the guy like pulls me aside and he's like, it's good to see an American working here. I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, it's nice to see another white face. And I'm like, oh, this is going south.
Yep.
Not regionally, because the North is racist too. But I was like, this is going bad. But he was like, yeah, it's all right to be nice to your coworkers, but make sure you don't make friends with them because they don't have souls. I'm like, what the shit?
Yeah, that person you should have told off. Oh. You should have told that person off like a motherfucker.
Fuck, no, and I was respectful to him.
Oh, no, 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 you, no, 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 no.
That, again, I was a much younger dude. but he walked out, and I walked up to my manager, and I was like, yeah, you shouldn't let that guy in here. He doesn't think you're a person. He doesn't think of you as being human. He's a bad person. Yeah, that was a real fucked up conversation. Yeah, shit like that.
That's awful.
But those are for me, that's what makes a restaurant experience bad. I had a waiter that got drunk on wine at the Olive Garden and was fucking hilarious. And he didn't get a tip, but which is one of the few times I have not tipped. But yeah, I was like, this is whatever. This happens. But fucking yeah, those meals were good food but bad atmosphere.
Years ago, when I was in high school, I was in FFA, mm-hmm. which is Future Farmers of America, and we were in the Black Hills for this camping event retreat thing.
Sure.
It was basically like Boy Scout camp or summer camp or something like that, where we go out in the woods and we, you know, do some team building exercises and you know, things like that. But anyway, and it's all revolved around being future agricultural, you know, the future of agriculture in this country. And we, one morning, we were, and again, this is high school, we had gone into town to get breakfast, and we stop at this buffet place.
Mm-hmm.
And we go in, and a lot of people get buffet, but I decide I wanted a Belgian waffle, so I ordered a Belgian waffle. And people, you know, and we've got a pretty big group, you know, 20 people or something like that. And mm-hmm. we go in, and people eat, and people finish their food, and I still don't have my food. And people are leaving and paying and walking out. And I finally was just like, I'm done waiting. Everybody is done eating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People are leaving. Should my food finally come? I'm going to be the one guy sitting there at the table eating, because everybody's like, people are literally getting in their cart.
Yeah.
So I just, like, I got up and I walked out.
Yeah.
And the table of people I was sitting at, apparently, like, 30 seconds after I walked out, my waffle showed up at the table. And, you know, they were like, what happened to him? And they were like, well, he got tired of waiting and he walked out.
Yeah.
And she went off on them.
Shit.
She you know, blah, 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 you know, you're going to have, you know, you... We're overstaffed and blah, 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 and this person is out because you didn't warn us and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, well, that's kind of not really our problem. I mean, you're a restaurant, and you sometimes big groups show up.
Expect unexpected.
Yeah, exactly. I sympathize. I've worked in a restaurant, and big tables show up unexpectedly. It's like, well, fuck, we get, you know. But you do it. Because
you also set reasonable expectations, like, oh, a Belgian waffle will take the kitchen some time.
Yeah, but it was the entire meal, you know.
Oh,
and,
shit!
And,
yeah,
and I mean, to be fair, the rest of the food wasn't that good either. But but you know, just dumping their problems on
right.
And the guy who was sitting at our table, he was the overnight manager. Yes, he was in high school, but he was also the overnight manager for the gas station near our school.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was burning the candle on both ends.
Sure.
But they were just like, well, have you ever had to deal with a big group that large on short notice? And he just drew himself to his full fucking 6 foot height, and he went, yes, I have, and walked out. And apparently she was pretty quiet after that. But I think that was probably my worst, where I didn't even get my food, and then they bitched about me walking out.
Well, I also understand people being at, like, their wits' ends, but...
It was breakfast.
Yeah, taking that out on other people is kind of not...
Yeah.
It's not acceptable in a professional or in a personal environment.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've been really lucky. I really don't... Maybe it's because I have low expectations.
Oh!
And so I'm not disappointed.
Or you are constantly disappointed, but you don't know better.
I mean, to be fair, I do swallow swords, so food is amazing.
That is also fair. Oh, fuck it. Food is so good. Food.
I could go for some.
Yeah. Do you have anything, or should we take
a break? I think my worst, you know, because I've had similar situations. You know, I had, you know, the one lady I mentioned, and then we had, with my first wife, we sat there for like 10 minutes, got sodas. 20 minutes, didn't come by and get any order, so we were like, fine, we just left. But I think the worst experience is we went up to Bemidji for my birthday. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Mudd had never been to the Headwaters. Oh. So I was like, okay, let's go to the Headwaters. I actually went to BSU, mm-hmm. Being up there, I think, by a couple of years with... country, yeah. Yeah, it's real nice. With Frost, because Frost went to BSU. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of took out my old stomping grounds, went out to a restaurant, always looked fancy, looked nice, you know, so it was going to be my birthday dinner.
Yeah.
She ordered the shrimp, not cleaned, it was cold.
Oh.
She's like, can I get something else? This just, I can see the poop vein in there and everything.
Right.
Like, I don't want this. She's like, okay, what would you like? Then she's like, I'll take the mint steak. So she got the steak, super, super salty. So it's like... just for two bad meals. Oh. You know, we told them we didn't like it. You know, it's like salty. She even tried it. It's like, okay, that is a little salty. So they took her meal off, but it's just like, all right, let's try this. Take two the next thing, which was a much better experience. But I think, you know, I think that's probably the worst that I've had.
I think really the, and I mean, that definitely helped that they comped the meal, you know, and I think that is part of it, is mm-hmm. when I think of worst experience, it's not necessarily did I like the food, it's mm-hmm. how we were treated about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've been in places where it was like, this is awful and I'm not eating it, and they're like, well, you're gonna pay for it anyway.
Yeah.
And then there are places that are just like, I mean, it was okay, you know, I ate a bunch of it, but it wasn't my bag, and they're like, well, we're gonna comp it, and I was like, I mean, it was fine.
Yeah.
But it just didn't tickle me. And they were just like, well, you're not happy, and so we're not happy, and so we're, you know. It was just like, fuck, okay. Like,
yeah.
I think a lot of that is the people, is the experience, is how well are you treated, how well, you know, if you do have a bad meal, do they give a shit?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That says volumes.
I was a little disappointed at... we went out for dinner after a movie, and the waitress behind us lost her tray. Felt bad for her.
Oh no!
But the problem was, is when she dropped it, blue cheese thing hit the floor and splattered all the way up the back of Mrs. Mudd's black velvet shirt, and she's just like, "Did that just hit me? Like, I think it hit me." And I'm just like. Yes. And the lady's like, oh my god, oh my god, I'm so sorry. Yeah. And just starts kind of trying to wipe her down.
No.
So yeah. their idea of, you know, at rib place. Why can't I think of the rib place? It's Famous Dave's.
Yeah.
Out in Woodbury, their idea of, you know, making it better was a piece of apple pie. So, I mean,
well,
you know, they cleaned her up and gave her dessert, yeah, huh. So, you know, for spreading creamy white sauce all over my wound.
It absolutely was an accident, and
yeah. We felt, you know, we still felt kind of bad for her, because she then had to clean up all this barbecue sauce and crap.
Yeah, there are no winners in that.
No.
No. Fuck.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, I like that. We'll
come back with our outro.
What?
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Mm-hmm. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Mud.
Yay!
Yay. James, do you have to be at work soon?
Not soon.
But you're going to be at work tonight, though, right?
I'm going to be at work very late in the evening. It's actually going to be difficult to stay awake.
You're going
to
be at work until, like, what?
9 in the morning.
9 in the morning. You are going to be all, like, you recorded a podcast.
Dragging my ass.
Then you're going to be up all fucking night working.
Yes.
You sound like you need some coffee.
Ah, I could really use some coffee. Do you know good coffee place?
I don't. Mud, do you know of any good coffee?
Coffee gives me the shits.
That so sounds like
no
coffee.
No. Oh, wait.
Thankfully, I know a really good coffee place.
Do tell.
That will Where? Give you fewer shits than other coffees. And that is True Stone Coffee. And you can get some less shit inducing coffee.
Where are we going with this, Salsa?
I wish I knew. Improv! Literally making it up as we go.
If you get the runs from coffee, make sure the coffee's worth it. Buy it from a reputable...
It won't feel bad going in, so it might as well. Or it won't feel good coming out, so it might as well taste good going in.
Right, exactly.
That's their tagline, I'm pretty sure. You need True Stone Coffee. Go to truestonecoffee.com, get yourself some amazing coffee. And if you don't drink coffee, get yourself an amazing tulip glass or t-shirt or other things.
All those t-shirts
something
are the fucking
for
best.
Everyone. A nice warm torso covering shirt that will keep you warm in the winter and looking snazzy in the summer. You can get, if you are a coffee drinker, all sorts of different coffee. Dark roast, light roast, medium roast, tasty coffee. Coffee beans, ground coffee beans, cold press coffee, whatever you want. And if you use the promo code...
Apropos.
But it's spelled apropos.
Right.
You can get 10% off of your order, which means either using that 10% to buy some scones or something, or get more coffee, or, you know, I don't care what you do it. Buy some art. That's what I recommend doing. It's completely up to you. I will not tell you what to do with your money.
Other than that you spend some of it at True Stone.
On True Stone Coffee, because it is worth every penny that you do spend.
And speaking of supporting the local arts, one of the things that I love most about True Stone is that this podcast, completely aside, because we're a tragic dumpster fire, but they support podcasts that are actually amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They support local theater. They support all kinds of amazing stuff as a company, and I think that's fucking awesome.
No, it's pretty
and that rad. Makes the coffee even that much more delicious when
much
I put it in my face.
Wonderful.
If I drink coffee, I drink them.
Yeah.
So there you go. Even a coffee drinker will drink True Stone. Is basically what I'm getting out of this.
Sure.
Okay.
I have questions.
Yes.
But the answer is True Stone. All
yes,
right.
It's true.
There we go.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, what? Hey, Salsa.
We should probably do some shout-outs.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you have one, James?
I will soon.
Okay, do you have a shout out?
A shout out to Sleep.
Sleep.
Ooh, Sleep.
Very good.
Yes.
I've recently, almost at a year now, have had a CPAP. I did not realize how bad my sleep was until I got my CPAP.
Okay.
Of course, now my sleep is bad now because of other reasons.
Right.
But
adorable reason.
Adorable little mud puddle. But even with that, it really makes a difference. With night of the sleep study, I only got about 4 hours of sleep. Two of those were with the sleep machine, but I actually felt better that morning with those 4 hours than I normally would. So
okay, so I'm aware of CPAP machines, and I'm aware that they make sleep better. But what exactly are they? Like, what does CPAP stand for, and what is it actually doing?
Continuous something, something, something. I forget what it means.
Pulmonary aspiration pump?
Something like that, yeah. So technically, I have a BiPAP, so a BPAP. Because so when I breathe in, it is at a pressure of basically 15. When I exhale, it's 9. And it basically just forces, you know, the passages open so you breathe. Because that's why, you know, snoring and the apnea is you stop breathing. You can't get into that deep, restful sleep.
I see.
So it basically just makes it so it basically helps you breathe. It's a life support system in a way. My father can't even take a nap without his, but the year I've had with mine is incredible.
So is it literally forcing air in and pulling air out, or is it
it's always pushing, but with mine it lessens when I exhale, but it's always pushing in. And there's different masks depending on how you sleep, what's comfortable for you. I have the one that goes over my mouth and my nose, and there's like a bridge that goes up to my forehead to kind of keep it pressed against my face,
right, so it doesn't shift
around. Yeah, and you know, so there's masks and straps. It kind of looks like a, you know, like Top Gun, you know, with the with what they're
It's very similar. Yeah.
So, you know, so that's basically, it's just a big hose, and the machine is probably about a foot by 3 inches by 4 inches.
Does it make any noise, or is it pretty
very
quiet?
Little noise.
Okay, it's so kind of a low hum.
Oh, yeah, just kind of
like a ceiling fan.
Kind of, yeah, you can just kind of hear this little and if the seal breaks on the mask, it, you know, makes a little noise. And then you can put a... It has a pocket to put water in so you can ventilate, so you get moist air in the dry summer or in the dry winters.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So you can, it doesn't dry you out.
Humidity, yeah.
Yep. And then there's, and then you can also, mine has a feature to heat the tube.
Put medicine in there too if you have like a respiratory.
You could, yeah. And you know, you just got to clean it once a week. And then I hook mine up to my phone and I can actually see, oh, I had 4 episodes an hour last night.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, and okay, my mask was loose and I could see there was, I had a total of a half hour.
The pressure dropped or something like that. Okay.
Yeah, so it helps you see, and then every day it sends it up to my doctor who I go back to every like 6 months to a year. So
now, you said it lessens when you exhale. Is it dynamically sensing that you're exhaling, or is it on like a timer where it's cycling?
Learns, it seems, because when you first turn it on, it seems like it's on a timer, but then it changes like depending on you.
Interesting.
So it's really useful, and if you don't get a good night's sleep, I would totally say go in for a sleep study and try one out. Anyone who I know now that has it has said it's changed their life, and now I completely agree. So
I used to have insomnia pretty bad, but that in the last decade has,
and I still have insomnia, which apnea and insomnia makes it really tough to sleep sometimes. So, but at least now I can't blame my apnea and my poor sleep.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, well, good sleep,
Jim. Yeah. I'm going to give a shout out to Japanese conveyor belt restaurants. We actually have a brand new one in Twin Cities as of last Friday. It opened.
What?
Yes.
Why have you not taken me there yet?
I thought we were friends. I'll take you anywhere you like.
On this bar and then to that place.
All right. So the it's the food comes to you. It's almost always fucking amazing. And when I was out with my family in Oregon, we stopped at one of those places, and I ate 17 plates of sashimi because I needed it.
Because why wouldn't you?
Right. So, but they're super fun. They're really great. Go out there, find a place that does it. In this state, in Minnesota, we have one of those places in the Twin Cities. Otherwise, look for those places in your state, see if they have them, and try it out. It's fun, and it's a great dining experience.
Cool.
So, yeah.
What's the place called?
The place here is the, Tokyo Train, I want to say.
Why are you asking us?
Well, hang on. I'm remembering it's like a Tokyo Train or something. I'll look it up.
Okay. While you are doing that, I will give my shout out. And my shout out is to Oh, shoot, I'm blanking.
Memory?
Oh, shoot, what was it?
Old age.
Apparently. Fuck, I...
Lack of sleep.
No. Oh, I remember what... Sorry. I'm giving my shout-out to beignets.
Beignets?
Beignets.
The little balls that are like, for...
So, like for those that do not know, things? Beignet is a B-E-I-G-N-E-T. A beignet is a New Orleans fried dough.
Oh.
Pastry thing.
Awesome. Sushi train.
A sushi train, okay.
Yeah.
But beignets are these this basically this sweet fry bread. Awesome. They're really, really good. When Raider Lee and I were in New Glarus last fall for Rogues and Ruffians, the restaurant we stopped at had mini beignets.
Aww.
And it was a mound of mini beignets that had powdered sugar and chocolate swirled on them, and we just devoured them. But recently my wife was like, I had a hankering for beignets. So I was like, I'm going to make beignets because I enjoy making food. I enjoy cooking and baking and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm going to make beignets. And so I found a recipe online, and I made the dough, and it was on Saturday. And this was on Saturday morning, because you know, and we were like, after dinner, we'll fry these up and we'll have these. And dinner came around, and the kids were a little insane. We were just like, okay, dessert's not happening tonight. we'll save these for tomorrow. So I put the dough in the fridge, and I walked away and came back the next evening, roughly 24 hours after making the dough, and the dough had fucking tripled in size.
Oh. Uh-huh.
The bowl, it was filling the goddamn bowl that I had put it in. And I punched it. You know, like, bread dough, when you punch it down, it, like, deflates and stuff like that? Yeah. I punched down on this, and it didn't fucking
move. Did it punch back?
It didn't. It just went bloop. And didn't deflate. I'm just this big now.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So I rolled it out and I cut up the squares and
I'm pretty sure this is how the movie The Blob started.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, it's like a good thing he didn't eat his arm.
I got a serving platter.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about this serving platter was probably about 18 inches in diameter. This was a fucking serving platter. And I had that thing heaped.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
I saw this photo and it's fucking amazing. Yeah, it was a
gigantic pile of beignets. And I fried them all up, and my wife and the kids were in the living room while I was doing this. And I carry this platter over to the living room. And from the doorway, I go, hey, honey... You said you liked beignets, right? Like, yeah. And I was like, how much do you like beignets? And she was like, I mean, they're okay, I guess. And, you know, because she's sitting there thinking, I have destroyed them. They're not happening. Something right. wrong.
Aww.
And then I come around the corner with the fucking mound of beignets, and she's like, what the fuck? She was like, there is no way in hell we are going to eat all of these. You need to bring this to the neighbors.
Yeah.
And so I walked up one side of our street and down the other, knocking on every single one of our neighbors' doors.
Yeah.
And they would open the door, and I would say, I made too many beignets, would you like some? And I was giving them away about 4, 5, 6 at a time. And I still had 2 dozen when I got home.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah.
They were delicious.
They were fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They were so good. So good.
Should have gone up to the lake and sold them. made a few bucks.
You got to have a truck license for that, though.
Yeah, this was already like 9 at night. Or not quite that. Probably 8 o'clock. Like it was starting to get twilight. It was still light, but it was starting to get later.
Yeah.
So now I just know that I'm now known as the beignet guy up and down our block.
I mean, that's a lot better than what they knew before.
Also true.
That's, yeah.
So beignets, they're great.
Awesome.
Hey everybody.
Hey Dr. Nick.
Yes.
How about a fast five?
Fast five.
Fast Five.
For those that do not know, if Fast Five is you, that's right, you, dear listener, send us five questions in two emails. The first email contains nothing but the choices. We do not know what these choices mean. We only have to choose them. And it is only after we have completed that we open up the second email and find out what those answers mean. So, today's...
The gasp.
Fast Five comes to us from... Cabbage!
Yeah, Cabbage!
Cabbage.
What? She's fucking great.
Yeah, she is! Your reaction was... quick!
I'm very enthusiastic. Fair enough. Cabbage. Cabbage is super
rad. It's just like, there wasn't even a moment of recognition. It was just like, Cabbage, yay! It was so instant. Which doesn't surprise me, because Cabbage is fucking great. We love you, Cabbage!
Yeah!
Hello, friends! I really enjoy your podcast. Keep it up. Aw, thank you very much. Here are my questions for you. See you fair, Lee Soon. I see what you did there. Cabbage. Question number one. A dirty leaf or a square of itchy fabric?
Ooh.
Is it wiping your butt?
I'm wondering if it's a wipe in your butt thing.
Loincloth?
Dirty fabric? It could be like the Adam and Eve fig leaf thing.
A dirty leaf. Tarzan?
I think Mud might have it here.
Or, like, Cabbage is famous for wearing
on
the cabbage
head,
leaf.
Yeah,
on
a dirty leaf. But what would the square of itchy fabric be?
Well, like a bandana or something. Like a... So it may not. It may have nothing to do with the butt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everything has to do with the butt, James.
I mean, eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I choose the innocent interpretation. I'm gonna say, I've worn many a bandana. I'll go with fabric, itchy fabric.
I'll go with itchy fabric too.
I feel like I would go dirty over itchy any day of the week though, so I'm gonna go dirty leaf.
Huh.
I'm okay with getting dirty. Itchy? No, thank you.
Yeah, but you're also a person who hates to, you know, like, you don't mind fabric on you, I don't think, but
I really don't like oils
and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not fond of tactile.
Yeah, doesn't
like
dirt?
Dirt's fine. Itchy is way worse than dirt. Are you kidding? I grew up on a farm. Dirt's not a problem.
Oh, I suppose, yeah. All right. Well, that makes sense then. Sure.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Question number two. A pirate ship or a giant snail?
Ooh.
Oof.
Snails are real cute. I think I want a giant snail.
Kind of going a giant snail.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's... I have no clue what the context is here, but I want a snail.
I kind of want to hug a giant snail.
I got to say pirate ship, just because I hang out with pirates at the when I go to Fest.
Oh, I suppose.
Okay.
When I visit friends and loves in the morning, my morning, I'm like, yeah, I'll be there. I can wake up a little early and go get dinner with you or something like that. I'll still be a sleepy little snail, but like, so yeah, I'm snail. That's fine. Yeah.
Number three, a ripe banana.
Okay.
Or a nice water bottle.
Huh.
Again, I have no idea on the,
like, which is more refreshing? During a hot day, or because like the potassium
in a banana is really good for a hot festival day.
Yeah,
I gotta go water though.
A ripe banana might also be more comedic. Well, but a water bottle's a really good prop.
Yeah.
Which would you rather have in your backpack?
I feel like just for comedic alone, I gotta go banana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems reasonable.
Banana peels are a Mario Kart item.
We
go with banana peel.
A ton of hilarity out of banana peels.
There is that. They're also a Zelda item. I'll go with ripe banana.
All right.
I'm gonna go with the useful, more for me, useful item with water bottle.
Okay.
Mm.
A nice water bottle for the mud stuffing.
I've occasionally trapped small houseborn friends to take them outside where they belong using a water bottle.
You are so disgustingly like Pollyanna.
Well,
small household friends.
Well,
they're mice, James.
Not mice.
Or bugs,
I would,
or whatever. Like,
yeah.
You're just so Disney princess.
They're friends.
They don't know that they don't belong there.
You're so nauseatingly Disney princess. You know that.
But look at his lovely hair.
Feel bad for them.
I didn't say it was a bad thing. Remember, we've had this conversation. Yeah. We have had this conversation of you are so cloyingly nice sometimes. And I'm a bad person. I freely admit this. I am a terrible person. Yeah. You are annoyingly nice. Aww. You are the better person. Ooh, by far.
But I'll go banana for comedy.
Question number four. A leaf pile or a puddle?
Which would you rather jump in?
I'm sorry, but A, mud puddle. Adorable. But yes, puddle.
So if Cabbage had a tiny child, would it be leaf pile?
Yes. Splashing in a mud puddle is way more fun than jumping in a leaf pile, in my opinion. That's just me.
Well, the puddle reassembles itself.
Yes.
But the leaf pile, after you've jumped in it, you have to, like...
That depends on what you do with the puddle. You can definitely disassemble a puddle.
But, also, I've enjoyed seeing pictures of the tiny mud puddle. I'll go puddle.
I take more glee splashing through a mud puddle than jumping in a pile of leaves.
Well, plus, if you jump in a pile of leaves, it doesn't splash your friends.
Or does it?
Necessarily. But
if you're doing it right.
Jump in a puddle, like... That can be an experience shared by many people.
All right.
Yeah, puddle.
Puddle. All right, puddle. Question number five. Fulu Fulu or Pleaber Beep? I will repeat. Fulu Fulu.
Fulu Fulu.
F-O-O-L-O-O. F-O-O-L-O-O. Fulu Fulu. Or... Pleaber Beep. P-L-E-E-P-E-R-B-E-E-P. Pleaper Beep.
Pleaper Beep has more funny consonants. But Fulu Fulu sounds like Japanese onomatopoeia.
Pleaper Beep.
For soft and squeezy. Like something is... Funyu Funyu is the... You can squish this. Squishy is Funyu Funyu.
I feel like Pleaper Beep is almost too tongue twisty, whereas fulu 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 just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
Pleaper Beep, you gotta work for a little.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go fulu fulu.
I could imagine myself like cooking and like stirring things in a pot and just saying fulu 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 fulu.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or the fulu 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 fulu, it just sounds like something that you would say. Like if you're walking along, you go fulu 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 fulu. Whereas Pleaper Beep, I feel like is a very... I don't know what context you would use it in, whereas I feel like I would use Fulu Fulu a lot.
Fulu Fulu almost sounds like something like the Swedish chef would say as he's doing something.
Fulu 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 Fulu. Beep, beep.
Yeah. Huh.
I think I'm going to go Fulu Fulu.
Yeah, I think we're all going to go with Fulu Fulu on this
one. Yeah, I'm strongly in the Fulu Fulu camp.
Gotta know what it means.
Now we
question
find
number
out
one.
Who is right. And who is dead?
Question number one, a dirty leaf or a square of itchy fabric.
Yeah.
What makes a better hat? So,
yes.
James proves once again to be the better man than me.
I can't take that away from Cabbage. Cabbage has a wonderful leaf hat.
Yeah. I'm still happier not being itchy.
I like being able to wet the cloth on my head.
You can wet a leaf,
I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
Mud does not agree.
Yeah.
No, I think I'd still stick with my answer, just because I think I'd rather have a wet cloth versus a dirty leaf.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
For my own personal comfort, I would go cloth.
Cloth. But it's itchy.
Yeah?
Question number two. A pirate ship or a giant snail?
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. If you only had one method of transportation, which would you rather use? Now, are we talking about the racing snail?
I was going to say.
Because if it's the racing snail from Never Ending Story, then yes. Otherwise, I'd have to go pirate ship.
Pirate ships have rum.
Pirate ships do have rum.
Oh, you could be like the fool in the flying ship. could have the
Fulu Fulu in the flying ship.
The ship that. Yeah. All right. Yeah. If it was like a flying pirate ship.
Like what the is Flying this? Dutchman?
Final Fantasy. Yeah. I don't know. Something like that.
All right.
Yeah. But I'm gonna stick with snail.
Snail.
Yeah.
I'm switching to pirate ship.
I'm sticking with the pirate ship.
Mm. Okay. Which means James is wrong. Ha ha. Question number three. A ripe banana or a nice water bottle?
Yeah.
Sparkles the Wizard has turned the entire Minnesota Renaissance Festival's noble court into something else. What did the noble court turn into?
Bananas are funny.
Bananas are funny, that's true.
Plus, imagine a banana with the little crown.
But they're nobility, and so a nice water bottle might be a thing.
Wow.
Mm.
But you're right, banana is funny.
Especially banana in a costume.
Banana is pretty funny.
Banana in a costume is very funny.
No, I think I'll switch to a banana.
Yeah, I got
you. I'm just imagining Johnny as a banana.
Well, okay, so objectively, water bottle with a goatee or banana with a goatee?
Banana with a goatee.
Banana with a goatee, yeah, is my answer. Yeah. I think banana.
I think I'm going down the stairs.
I get this
joke. I want whatever Cabbage has been smoking when she wrote these, that's for sure.
Cabbage,
probably. Question number four. A leaf pile or a puddle?
Yeah.
Which is more fun to jump in?
Yeah.
Yep, puddle.
Yep.
Sticking with puddle.
Yeah.
Question number five. Fulu Fulu or Pleeper Beep?
Yeah.
If you had to rename yourself, which name would you choose?
It would have to be Fulu Fulu.
Oh. I think
the fencing booth knows me as Fafa.
That's
so
true. That's true.
Fulu Fulu would be. Fafa is short for Fulu Fulu. I think.
I think I still have to stick with Fulu Fulu.
Yeah.
I think I'll switch my answer. Yeah. Just to make people, twist their tongues a bit, just to fuck with them.
I honestly, but like for my show, having everybody chant Fulu Fulu.
Fulu Fulu Fulu.
Like, that'd be pretty great.
Yeah. That would be.
Jesus Christ, Cabbage.
That was.
These were delightful.
Delightful as expected.
Thank you so very much. And thank you for listening to the show. And thank you for saying such nice things about us.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure they're not true. we will absolutely see you at Fest this year and give you much hugs and loving and
friendship
and trailing off.
Yeah.
If you would like to submit a Fest 5, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one, please put the 5 choices, and the second one, repeat those choices and include the context. If you are sending in more than one Fast 5, please give them different titles so that Google does not thread them, and make sure that you clearly label the questions and the answers similarly so we know that they go together. That about does it for us, I think. Does anybody have anything to plug? Mud, your crocheting doll thing, go ahead and tell people about that and give websites and where they can donate and shit like that.
So, yep, the wife and I crochet dolls for kids with cancer, birth defects, and such, and that's Feel Better Friends. So it's fbfdolls.org. You can donate money there. If you yourself know of someone who has a child in need, they can submit a request into there. And then, unfortunately, there's a waiting list. So it takes up me 2 to 4 weeks to do a doll.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes a little bit of time. There's not a lot of us. I'm one of 3 men, and there's only about 60 of us volunteers worldwide that work in this organization. So, yep, fbfdolls.org if you want to donate or put in to have it done. And if you want, you can request me, and they will get it to me, and I can do something. And I buy all the supplies and to make the dolls, and I tried, we customized it to make it look like the kids. I just had one last year. He was into Doctor Who, so I made him a bow tie and a fez. So his favorite very doctor nice. Was Matt Smith. So yeah, we do. So that's one of the big things that we do.
Everybody's a better person than me. We will make sure to get that website on the show notes yes, for everybody you. Else. And if they are somebody who crochets and wants to get involved in this, how do they do that?
They would. You can contact them through the website or even go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/feelbetterfriends. And they can... we have a... Basically, they put you through a little test just to kind of see where your crocheting skills are at. And then, you know, once they see you make a doll, they will then give you an assignment. And we, like I said, we try to get those done within a couple of weeks so we can continue on.
That's wonderful. And having seen the stuff that you have done, they absolutely look fantastic. So you're doing a really good job there. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
James,
do you have anything coming up? Yeah, chess. This month, middle of this month, starting on, I believe, the 15th, Friday nights, you can see the finals Friday nights at 7:30, I believe, and then Saturdays we have two shows. You can pick the afternoon matinee show, or you can pick, again, the evening. More details as that approaches very swiftly.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's about a week out.
Anything else?
So, that's what I got for now.
Okay. This coming Saturday, June 9th, I will be in Alma, Wisconsin for Fire in the Shire. I am doing four shows there, two 15-minute shows in front of the castle and two half-hour shows at the city lot.
Wow, nice.
That it sounds like it's honestly, it really honestly sounds like it's going to be a fun little festival. It's the entire town basically becomes the festival.
It's a cute town. We've been through there.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a nice little town.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a huge town, but it looks like they've got a lot going on, and seems like the whole town turns out for it, and they've got a fucking medieval arms and armor museum castle. Like, fuck! That sounds awesome! And I will be there doing my thing, so please come out and see the show and support the whole thing, because this, honestly, I want this thing to succeed, because it seems pretty rad. And beyond that, one thing I do want to mention is Fearless Comedy Productions, Duck's production of Caucasian Aggressive Pandas and other Mulatto Tales is imminent.
Yes.
That is opening very soon. I think that's also opening this weekend.
Yeah.
Let me just bring that up. There's a lot of shows that one is... I think he's got like 12 or 13 shows on that one, so there's a lot to see there. Let me see. The first one is this Friday, 7:30. And there's all through the next few weeks, there's many, many shows. So go to the Fearless website and look that up, or Facebook, search for Caucasian Aggressive Pandas, and you will find those events.
And it looks like they have Monday shows, so I...
Yeah, they have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Friday, two on Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I will definitely be able to go, and they've got a bunch most shows. Certainly will.
And while we're on Fearless, Murder on the Mississippi.
Yes.
The first show was sold out already.
Yeah.
And so the Minnesota Park have added a third show.
Woo!
September 12th. They have added a third show. So that is super, super exciting. That we are getting that, because I saw last year's show and it was so much goddamn fun.
Yeah.
And like I said last year, it's, you can engage with the play as much as you or as little as you want.
Yeah, some people just sat and played cards.
Like I wanted to see everything. Yeah. And you can't see everything just by dint of scenes happening simultaneously in different places. So you cannot see everything, but you can try to catch as much as possible. Whereas my wife was just really content to just kind of sit and watch the river go by, and it's gorgeous, and you look out on the shore and you see herons and shit like that. And so it really, really is a fantastic time. Again, the first show is already sold out. Get your tickets now before they're gone forever. That about does it, I think. Any closing thoughts? No, everybody's looking at me pretty blank. No. So we're going to say thank you so very much for listening. We'll be back next week, and eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye.
This is me testing my microphone. Testy, 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 testy.
Detest?
Testing. Booyah Bays based jokes. Booyah Bays based jokes.